If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Trying to give this in a way you can grasp, because the way I see it, it's just real, real deep. And I don't want to be a deep preacher. Jesus did not die, listen to me, to make your physical life better. Jesus didn't die to take you from a 65 Hyundai to a 2016 Mercedes. That's not why he shed his blood. Jesus didn't take that beating so you can wear a lot of bling bling, nor did he die for a Louis Vuitton handbag. He did not die for a Brioni shirt and tie. He did not die so you can have a house in the suburb. While many in 21st century Christian teaching, they promote the blessing and the prosperity, which is a small component. Jesus did not die for you to wear a Rolex and prove your Christianity by a Maserati. Jesus did not die so you could accumulate stuff and testify about it later on. Jesus died so that you could connect with God and be free of sin, so a holy God would accept you as the sacrifice. If you master that concept, if you master that philosophy, even if God does not heal you from your current physical situation, you don't lose your love for him. Your mindset says, God, it's in your hands. And if this is something that I have to hold on to, I'm gonna love you while I'm holding on to it. I know you can deliver me. I know you can heal me. I believe you can. But for some reason, the devil is telling you to back away from God because he has not given you that job that you believed for. You received the prophetic word stating that certain things would be in your grasp within a certain time, and it has not happened. So you think that prophets are liars. You've given up on God because your economic situation has not changed. You've given up on God because your health seems to deteriorate. But if you know the God of the Bible, you will know that God loves you in spite of what this flesh is going through. Therefore, I'm going to love him in spite of what I think he ought to do for me. Ask your neighbor, who told you you were naked? The Bible does not give us every nook and cranny of the stories that unfold before us. This is where I struggled the greatest when I was a young student of theology. Because when the Bible lacks specific information, it leaves us to conjure up things that often lead us away from the true path. It brings about questions that have nothing to do with the text, but they come because the God who wants to reveal himself often hides himself behind the shadow of metaphor. He hides himself behind the teaching of the allegory. One must dig deeper into the text to find the ultimate meaning. The story of the fall of Adam and Eve has nothing to do with the stuff that you and I have extracted from this passage. But I submit to you that what Adam fell from was his love and walk with God. I cannot suggest that he never regained it. I fully expect to see him up in heaven, terribly repentant for violating a simplistic act. But one has to ask themselves, why was the act so simple? Just don't eat the fruit. If you suffer from high blood pressure and your doctor tells you just don't eat the salt, you will find that you have a struggle avoiding salt. It is not because you don't have the ability to avoid the salt. It is because somebody, Proverbs chapter 1, has tried to use some wisdom to tell you not to do it. When you leave the doctor's office, you then cuddle with people in your social circle or your family who tells you eat whatever you want. And here's the words of justification: it ain't gonna kill you. But what if it does kill you? Do we have permission to put on your casket? They died like a fool dies because all they had to do was avoid the salt. Are you following me? I submit to you that God was not dealing with Adam about the fruit. He was simply saying, if you love me, every piece of fruit in that garden was good. There was no bad fruit in that garden. Even the fruit of prohibition was good. The Bible said it was beautiful to the eye because God doesn't make anything bad. So it couldn't be because the fruit was bad. He could not have been telling Adam not to eat it because the fruit was poison. God didn't have anything poisonous in that garden. It was not about the fruit. It was about loving me. Do you love me enough to say no to something that looks good to you, tastes good to you, and listen to this, is good to you? Do you love me enough to believe that I have your best interest at heart when I deny you that piece of fruit? God would not have had to told Adam not to eat the chitlins. One whiff, and he would have said, God, do I have to eat them? God doesn't pick something nasty and smelly and tells you not to do it. For the temptation comes when the thing that the devil pulls you into is better than anything you have in your world. The great Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, it often happens that when we are full of public labors, we are short on private devotions. That means when we keep working for the Lord, it can become our fruit that pulls us from the presence of the Lord. We can spend so much time loving the things of God that we don't have time for the Lord of the things. This is one of the ways you will know that the things have your attention is when you are offended when it looks like somebody's taking your thing away from you. When you're about to lose your position, you get upset and leave your church because you're about to lose your position. Then you love that position more than you did God. You ought to be so content with God that if God said, give up that position, you say, Father, you can have this old position. Just don't take your spirit away from me. I suggest to you that God's first call is that to a time of intimacy. Many of us don't know the difference between intimacy and sex because we've been so emotionally abused that we think that anytime we hear the word intimacy, it's a call for bedtime. But true intimacy means the removal of all three of the Shakespearean masks to stand before that person emotionally naked. And you can show them how neurotic you are, how psychotic you are, how schizophrenic you know you are with all five of your people, knowing that they'll embrace every single one. You're intimate with someone when they can call you and you let Raphael answer the phone and your name ain't Raphael. You let Ricky answer the phone. You let Ricardo answer the phone until they become so comfortable in all of your presentations that they love them all. That's what God is saying. I love all y'all. And I'm not talking about all of y'all plural. I'm talking about all of y'all plural. God said, I love the one that's at the altar. I love the one in the crack house. I love the one in the bar. I love the one with the liquor in his hand. I love the one with the bottle of oil. I love the one that's at the altar, and I love the one that's in the club. I love you when you're singing my songs of worship, and I love you when you're hitting out hip-hop. I love you. I love all of you. I love your white teeth from Crest, and I love your brown teeth from marijuana. If you are willing to be intimate with me, then you can tell me about those things that's separating you from me. You will come to me and just open up and share with me those parts of your life that's keeping you from walking with me when I come down in the cool of the day, when I come down to have fellowship with you, and you're hiding from me behind your church ministry, behind your choir rehearsal. You're hiding from me behind the prophet's meeting, behind every other church auxiliary. No, I want you to come to me and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you pull back from me, I don't have no other place to go. Ministry does not make me successful. The position of pastorate nor that of presiding bishop of an organization does not make me successful. What makes me successful is that my name is written in the book of life. For my Bible tells me in the book of Revelation, as we move closer to that revolution of revelation, when we get to the book of Revelation, we find the Bible says that when we stand before the great white throne judgment, only those whose names are in the book of life are going to be able to come into the kingdom of God. But now I'm going to tell you something that will bless your spirit if you can receive it. My name was not written in when I came to the altar, but I came to the altar because my name was written in. And that meant that God loved me before I even knew he existed. How can I turn my back on a God who loved me when I was at my filthiest, when I was dirty and in sin? How can I turn my back on a God who says, just love me? He does not call us to anything we cannot do. He does not call us to anything that's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard, but the way of those who belong to God is easy. If your way is hard, it's because you're not doing it for the Lord. If you're losing those things that used to make you great, it was because they're not from God. I call you to a place today of intimacy before God. I do not call you to the altar at Bethel, but I call you to the altar of heaven. For at the altar of heaven is where you connect with Christ. It is there that Christ reveals himself and you see who he truly is. And when you get a glimpse of who he truly is, you will see who you truly are. And you will not walk away from that altar talking about anoint me, bless me, and open doors. But you will say, God, forgive me. Heal me, deliver me, and bring me closer to you.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2216P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60. Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart. You'll sit there and say, oh, the praise team ain't moving me. No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises, because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You've become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It is Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to reevaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.